This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening to you for Wednesday, September 26, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki, a.k.a. Sniffles Hunter.
Yes, I know I have a cold. So I'm just so glad for a mute button. Anyway, good evening, Doug. Good evening, everybody. It's going to be a good show tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Not even for a cold.
Not even for a cold.
Show must go on and all that other stuff. So it's good to have everybody with us tonight. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a.k.a. Metaphysics Institute. It's a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available, including spiritual counseling and life coaching and holistic healing and paranormal science, and there's several others. If that sounds interesting, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org for more information. Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about channeled messages. We'll get to that in just a few moments here after we do our profession of beliefs. And also toward the end, depending on time constraints, we will do a guided meditation. I'm thinking about playing a recorded one that I have that we've played on previous shows about self-confidence. So that'll be about 16 or so minutes. So if we've got time, I'm going to go ahead and play that one. To get into our program tonight, let's do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. Number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are, therefore, equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both the physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the body, the physical body, in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human condition and the spirit and enhancing the human condition. Little glitch there. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, visit mchschurch.org. And, you know, just in that number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. It reminds me of stories in the news recently. Everybody, I'm sure, has heard about the, we talked about it last week, the tolerance an intolerance we talked about last week on this short film on YouTube called The Innocence of Muslims. And, of course, a couple of weeks or so ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it's been now, the ambassador in Libya and three others were killed, presumably over this, but now they're saying it was just a terrorist attack. However, it's very interesting that the Libyan people, if you've read the news, I mean, the other day, a few days ago, I don't know, 30,000 of them protested and went and invaded these malicious compounds and basically kicked the crap out of them and killed the one that was responsible for killing the Libyan ambassador, so the news says. I mean, that whole thing, they stood up and they said, you know, we're not taking this anymore. We're not like that. We're not living like that anymore. And, you know, it warmed my heart. That's what it takes for people to stand up, take their power back, and just say, no more. We can't live with all these problems, all this war. So I wanted to mention that. That was that's what I'm talking about. Also, don't want to forget that we have Dr. John Hightower manning the phones tonight. So if you have a comment that you'd like to make or have a question, you're more than welcome to call us in. call in. I don't know. Hey, I'm not even on drugs either. Doug. I don't know what's going on.
I'm saving the meds for later.
Yeah.
Honest.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. You know, tonight's show, this is in keeping with what you've just spoken about giving our power away. I'd like to start tonight's show off by saying we cannot live our lives by channeled messages alone, please. And that's how I'd like to start the show off.
Yeah.
So I just stepped right in there. You know, there's a lot of talk on the net, particular. It's increasing all the time, and I think as we, you know, get closer to this December 21. In 2012, which I did the math, we have an 86-day countdown before
all
we all
right.
die.
Cool.
And, you know, I'm going to pay my bills anyway just in case because it really worries me that it could be wrong. There's an intensity of energy. We are in a shift of consciousness. I am absolutely a believer in channeling of all kinds. So I'm saying that right up front. My question is the messages. My question is the language, the interpretation, and people putting way too much emphasis on this hope that we're going to be saved. And that's my contention about it. So we can just lay in my groundwork right up front, Doug, and I'm excited about the conversation. And I really hope that our, you know, our listeners will, you know, especially the live listeners right now, will join in and put in your 2 cents worth and or give us a phone call for sure. So, that's where I'd like to begin.
Well, and let me,
I guess I just did.
Echo that. Yeah. Let me just echo that too. And I just want to set the record straight and kind of get off on the right foot here too. I mean, there's nobody that's more fascinated by psychic phenomena than I am. And I do believe that channeling happens, but it's like anything else. You know, you have to use critical thinking skills when you are looking at anything, anywhere, any type of thing. So that's really what this show is about tonight, to not just put blind faith in these presumed channeled messages, but to really use your head and remain grounded and keep your brains about you and really look at what's going on with the message. And so in that vein, I want to talk about 15 different things, commonalities in many of these channeled messages that for me present a problem. And so I want to also just reiterate, like Vicki did, look, I know channeling happens, and there's some good channeling going on. I mean, I've been around when it's happened, and it was fascinating. So what I'm really directing this at is some of these well-known mediums and channelers, and if by some chance you're listening to this program, good. Listen to it. Now, I well know there's a tremendous foo-foo element to all this stuff. And if you really want to get the masses, then you're going to have to go into foo-foo-dom. And that, and what I'm talking about here is fringe. You go way out on the fringe. And there's a lot of people who want to hang on that fringe. And obviously we don't. I don't want to be on that fringe. Everything that we do is grounded. It's got a defensible, compelling conclusion, you know, and a basis that it's founded on. And so what I want to say is, look, if I wanted to get rich, I could easily start up a website, profess to be a medium, and channel these messages, and I could write some pretty good stuff, and I would probably get rich doing it. Well, that's not my goal here. My goal is to leave the woodpile higher than I found it. And so I want to point out some things that you need to be aware of so that you don't just go blindly looking or following some of these channeled messages. And I have a problem with all of them. I don't care if it's Seth or Abraham or whoever. There's so many of them out there.
Well, and Doug, just to throw this in, though, I'm sure that many of these channelers, and myself included in the work that I do, and, you know, we all want to leave the woodpile higher. And I really like to believe that there's a sincerity that's being offered by many of these, of channelers. So I think everyone has their own agenda, their own motivation. Not everyone is in it for the money. But
Right. Let's
just say that when you do start using a particular language and a particular kind of jargon that goes with it, it does stretch out into that foo-foo land, as we talk about. Thanks to Camille for that term that we've adopted. But it emotionally tugs at people. So I'd like to just qualify for all of our listeners who may be channelers or not, myself included. Not everybody is in it for the money, but they do tend to get more attention, and they know how to grab people's attention. They know how to, exactly, and they know how to emotionally awake people, you know, waken them. And we'd like to be more spiritually awake and human awake. Emotionally, I think we got enough emotion going on, thanks. So I just like to clarify that we know that not everybody's in for the money. And there are people who really do sincerely want to contribute to humankind and believe sincerely that they have a message to give. So,
and that's you know, well stated. And I didn't mean to imply that they were after the money. I'm just saying that if I wanted to get richer, I could do that. So I don't want to imply that that's all they're in it for. There are some very sincere people. But this is another benefit of critical thinking. If you happen to be a channeler who does this, who has a following, you give these channeled messages out to, you know, your newsletter people or your subscribers or whatever, I want you to think about what you're doing, and I want you to think about it in the light of the life leadership paradigm, which consists of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three combine to create self-completeness. In other words, complete in yourself. So keep that in mind as we go through some of this. And if you're not familiar with channeled messages, when we're done with this program, look them up. Just do a search for channeled messages, and you'll find plenty of them. Some have been circulating the net for a decade or more. So I want to go through these 15 points, and we'll discuss these and then apply it here and there. The first one, these are just observations I have made from a variety of these different channel messages. Not all of them contain every single one, but you're going to find a lot of these elements in every single one. First one is motivated by a variety of different reasons. The messenger creates or identifies a problem that resonates with most people on some level, then provides some type of ambiguous and fanciful solution. And this, of course, is a fundamental principle of persuasion used by anyone trying to sell something tangible or intangible. You create a problem, and then you seek to solve it, or you identify a problem. And of course, with the economy as it's been in the last few years and a lot of the stuff going on in the world, it's not too hard to identify a problem, especially one that resonates with a lot of people. So they're worried, they're in fear, the world's in fear. A second point is the message strives to create a common ground with humans. And this draws the reader or the listener in and makes the entity appear personable and down to earth and thus more believable. So look for that, the common ground. You know, we too are striving to find the truth. We too, you know, are seeking the Supreme One, that kind of a sort of stuff, you know, finding that common ground. And Vicki, you can jump in anytime if you have a comment. The third one is the message is usually rather long and wordy, but contains little or no substance. And here's a little test you can do. Ask yourself, what do you know after you read it that you didn't know before? Really, what's the substance of it? What is it telling you? You know, is it providing any real value for everyday life? That's something to ask yourself after you've done listening or reading the message. The fourth, and I'll talk more about this particular aspect at the end, because there's, in my opinion, the biggest harm done by these channel messages is what I will address after I go through these 15. And, you know, this is all based on do no harm and do right. The fourth one, the message is flattering and complimentary to humans. There's often language like, you know, you have so much power within you, which is true, but there's a lot of complimentary and flattery going on. You have more power than you'll ever know. You can do this and that sort of thing. Is there anything wrong with saying that? No, but it goes to the point really of almost flattery. It's trying to draw them in. Number five. These messages are usually written in perfect or near-perfect English, including punctuation and spelling, and that this leads into number six. The message or parts of the message are often highly ambiguous. They might have ambiguous wording and terms. They might use uncommon words, uncommon terms, uncommon grammar, strange phrasing, that sort of a thing. Number seven, the channeled entity is often a group of entities operating under one unusual name. Abraham, I know, is one. Or common words combined to serve as a name. I think there's one of these channeled messages called the third person or something like that. It's kind of strange. The eighth point is that these messages will often have these nuggets of wisdom, but when you really look at it, this wisdom is really kind of blinding flashes of the obvious, but it's poised to be such wisdom. It's like acknowledging that. Number nine, it can include false or scientifically implausible facts. Facts that are unverifiable, unfalsifiable. And when I say unfalsifiable, that means it cannot be proven right or wrong. It's like ghosts. They're unfalsifiable. UFOs are unfalsifiable. You can't prove that they exist. You can't prove that they don't exist. And so these facts are often implausible scientifically. I don't know. There's several examples. I mean, there was one of these channeled messages that was just a few years ago, and I happen to have some respect for Blossom Goodchild because she came after the fact and took responsibility, and that was a beautiful thing because obviously it didn't come to pass. But I think part of it was that the spaceship was going to be so big it would, you know, would cover several states, and you know, that's a pretty big spaceship to be in, you know, in the Earth's atmosphere. So scientifically implausible. Number 10, often includes some kind of a sales pitch to do something or to take some type of action, or is reminiscent of a political message. One that I read the other day was, do you wish that we show up? In fact, if you just do a search for that, you'll find this channeled message. Do you want us to show up? Do you wish that we show up? And that's been circulating for at least 10 years, if not more. And the whole message is, if you know, if enough of you want us to show up, we will. Well, I'm sure that there have been plenty of people wanting them to show up, and so far we haven't seen them. A lot of these messages, number 11, a lot of these messages promote fear in some way. They, you know, if you don't, as a species, get your stuff together, you know, you're not going to make it. The world's going to be destroyed, or, you know, something along those lines. It can be apocalyptic. In fact, these messages will often use guilt manipulation to get people to take action. If enough of you want us to show up, then we will show up, and it will avert, you know, tragedy, and people will see that you're not alone. Well, you know, that's fear. It's promoting fear, and that's absolutely wrong. It's not healthy. Let's see, number 12. Often they go take the reader on an emotional roller coaster by alternately giving something then taking it away. It's reminiscent to me of the Stockholm Syndrome, because the readers or the listeners are alternatively put down then built up. Similarly, alternating fear and alternating hope. I mean, you get fear, then you get hope, then fear, then you go. They give you something, they take it away. You know, they put you, they build you up, then they put you down. And so look for that, because that's very wholly unhealthy. Number 13, the entity professes a comprehensive knowledge of and insights into humanity and human social structures and history. It's like they've been watching us so long, they know everything about us. They know more about us than we know about ourselves. And honestly, that's another one of those scientifically implausible facts. You know, they're not going to know more about us than we know about ourselves. You know, just from watching us, I mean, unless they've been here since the dawn of humanity, maybe they do, maybe they have. So is it absolutely wrong? Not necessarily, but again, is it likely? Probably not. You know, it's just another way to kind of build some common ground, and then it also sets them up really as kind of a godlike position. We know more about you than you know, or we know as much. We know all about your history. We know all the intricacies into human psychology, on and on. And honestly, I don't think God himself knows all the intricacies into human psychology. That was, of course, a joke. Don't do God. All right, so number 14, the message offers hope, and the messengers offer themselves as saviors reminiscent of religion. We're trying to help humanity. We're here with you on your quest. And as with most of these mainstream religions, such a tactic preys on those possessing them esteem and a poor self-concept. So look for those types of things, you know, the savior type of deal. And the 15th one point is they always have this built-in contingency plan of what, you know, what they promise doesn't come to pass, they've got a contingency plan, they've got an escape route, if you will. It's, you know, if you all want us to show up, and enough of you will just in your mind just say, yes, I want it, we will psychically receive that. But if not enough of you say it, we will not show up. So, you know, they can't lose, because if they don't show up, that means not enough of you did it, so you're bad. You know, that's the implication. It's your fault. You didn't act in accordance with our advice. So that's the 15 points. But the biggest thing here, the biggest harm that I see in a lot of these channeled messages is that they promote fear. These messages distract and divert people and their attention to something or someone outside of themselves. It clouds the real solutions to human social problems, and those real solutions are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. They make up the life leadership paragon. The result of these healthy traits is do no harm and do right. Just think about it for a moment. We don't need somebody to come save us. We don't need a savior. We need everybody here to stop doing harm and to start doing right. Now, a lot of us do that. Granted, a lot of people do that. But we need everybody to get on board with that. Do no harm. Do right. You know, accept yourself just as you are.
And I don't think...
and then
I don't think we need aliens
that.
To tell us that.
No.
Sorry, Doug.
Yeah.
I cut you off. You know, we don't need aliens to tell us that. Here's the thing that I have a problem with, because your 15 points are, boy, I tell you, it's right on the money, that I see is a problem in the dynamic with human beings, let alone, you know, having human beings channeling aliens. And because this is what we do. We all address a problem, because we all have problems. What better catchphrase than "we understand you have problems"? Well, any one of these things that you've mentioned, if it is true, which I believe it is, that there is some alien technology, and that's why we did a great big fast forward in our abilities with technology, then why would they give technology to morons, which is basically what the implication here is, that you all are screwing up, but they gave us all this knowledge to screw up, and now they're going to come save us. Now, I take offense to that. So
yeah, if it's,
don't,
that's true, yes.
You know, and again, if it's all true. So we have to take in our thinking. You know, you mentioned critical thinking skills. I like to go into the bigger picture and kind of say, okay, well, crop circles. I can see a lot of our technology in many of these crop circles that are out there, right from the gears in an engine to a wheel to, you know, I mean, I can see mirrored images of everything. But okay, we keep getting more crop circles. And I say, and what's the point? Nobody really knows what they're about. So, okay, these are what kinds of messages. That's another form. So somebody is guessing about what they think it is, and it somehow infiltrates into the channeling. You know, we've been sending you messages. You know, we've been doing this. Well, and what's your point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what is the point? When, and Doug, I'm going to tell the listeners this, anybody's listening, I have in my altered states met what I believe are extraterrestrials, aliens, because the frequency is very, very different than a dimension of the spirit world. But the information that I have gotten for a client in particular, or a couple of clients, is very specific knowledge. And I tell you, it's almost like trance channeling for me, where I pass along this information that is of benefit to the client. And I'm not going to repeat what all of that is. Most of the time I don't remember it. I remember I lost all sense of time and space in one session. I was there for 3.5 hours, and I had no idea I'd been there for 3.5 hours, and I had pages and pages of stuff all over the table. And I just gave them to him and said, oh, that's good. But there was no "we're going to save the world" stuff. You know, it's really about the individual evolution and what we're all supposed to do for ourselves. Now, if somebody can channel and wants to give a world message, you know, about something very specific that we can do besides tell your people to lay down their weapons, well, I'm in. I'm listening. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much all we get, and that I worry about the emotional influence on people, that it reinforces the Jesus complex and the chosen
complex.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know that
I'm special that, syndrome.
And of course, if you can channel aliens, you must be special. And I don't see anything special with what I do. It's just what I do. Maybe a little different from seemingly most people, but it's not a big deal. But if I thought I had some big world message, I'd be the first one up there doing it. It kind of freaks me out, because the ways that messages can be interpreted is so many, you know, mm-hmm. different angles to it. And people hang on to every word.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets kind of lost in the translation.
Well,
so,
let's take it a bit deeper.
Sure.
Let's take it in a little bit deeper into psychology here. Why do people hang on to these messages? You know, and I don't want this to be any kind of a big negative, you know, type of thing. What we're trying to do here is say, stop, take a moment, and really think about what these messages are saying. I'm not saying they're from the devil, because I don't believe in the devil. What I'm saying is that these are from wherever, I don't know. I'm not even going to guess where they're from. They could be from just a human being. They could be from somebody who just thinks they're getting something. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What we're trying to say here is think, use your head, keep your feet on the ground, and let's take it deeper. Why do people follow this? Well, people need hope. And there's a lot of problems in the world, especially if they hang on the news stories. They might become fearful. We need hope. We need somebody to come and help us. And that's what religion teaches. You know, you need Jesus, you need God, you need Muhammad, you need Allah, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. You need somebody to save us. That's not true anymore. And it's time for us to evolve past that need for something outside of ourselves. We have what it takes to solve our problems. All it takes is do no harm every day of your life. Don't do harm. Don't yell at people. Don't criticize people. Don't be mean. Don't undermine. Don't one up. Don't do those things. Do right. You know, hold the door. Help people. Lighten the load. Give a good word of encouragement. Smile at people. Do good. Do the right things. You know, we can solve our problems. We can solve our problems. We have it within us to solve our problems. And so we need to look within us.
I think that there is that element in all of these channeled messages that we can, I think in that ambiguous way that you used that word earlier, you know, the implication is that we can help ourselves, that the truth is within us, the power is within us. But it lends to the power of something else. If we pray hard enough, we'll be chosen to get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll be, if I pray hard enough, I'll be chosen to not be among those who is going to be in some mass annihilation, mm-hmm. You know, because our brains are filled with information, and we create actually from the time we're born, we start creating brain files, and all new information goes into those brain files. It's very difficult to wipe the slate clean and say, well, I'm going to, have a whole new recreation. It can be done. But it also means to say that we have these attachments, that's what I call attachment disorders, where there's keywords that I look for when I listen to channeled messages. If anybody uses certain things like Messiah, Savior, you know, and those key words, then I just push the delete button, because I know it has no place in my thinking, because I want something that's more neutral. So I appreciate that there is that element of, yes, we can help ourselves. Well, if I can help myself, I don't need to listen to you about a savior. So there's a contradiction, and we have to watch for those contradictory kinds of messages and again, take our own power back. I am long past the point where wouldn't it be great, Doug, if a whole bunch of intergalactics or extraterrestrials could just come down and bleep out all the bad guys? But then who's the bad
job.
Guys? Who is the bad guy?
Depends on who
you know,
ask.
Exactly. That's relative to any given situation. Sometimes we think, well, it's obvious who the bad guys are. Well, you know, 30,000 really good guys, you know, stood up for themselves in what we thought was just a whole bad country.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there are these imposed prejudices that our files start to build up on. So it's for us to rethink how we think, and it's for us to take responsibility that our thinking and our words and our actions are the same. That is critical. You know, you talk about something really nice, Doug, about, you know, open the door for somebody. You just reminded me of this. I literally was walking into a coffee shop one day, and there's a mom with the stroller with the baby in it, and a four-year-old. He's about four. And the mom is scolding the boy to hold the door open. You should be holding the door open, son. And he paused and he looked at her and he said, well, is that something that we should teach daddy too?
Yeah.
That's a true story. So what is the lesson in that? We don't need any channeled alien message for that one about, you know, you have the power within you. This is a dad who is living a double standard. The innocence of a child sees that. But that child is now building brain files that there are exceptions to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what we need to study. That's the stuff that we need to be accountable for. And in that is doing no harm, and even mental and emotional harm, I might add, and doing the right thing. Well, if I'm trying to teach my child to do this, then I better buck up and do it myself.
Absolutely.
So that's how we're accountable.
And it goes right along with the principles of belief. You know, be your own hero, be your own messiah, be your own savior. You can do it. We all can. We just need to look within. We have a caller on the line. Jay from Canada, welcome to the program. You have a question?
Yes, I do. An interesting topic you're talking about right now regarding channel messages. I'm not a really big, strong believer of channel messages. I think it's more of the eye candy effect. I think Andrew Clay used to channel a lot, but now everyone's channeling everything now. Anybody and everything.
And
names that you don't even know. And going like, okay. And I think it's a really good publicity. I don't think we call that.
Sure. Well, it can be. Can
yeah,
be.
It can be. So,
what makes you think that?
Huh?
When you
what?
Say that you really believe in it, Jay, is it that you don't believe at all in it, or you don't believe in the majority of it?
Well, the majority of it, because you don't know who's on either side when you're channeling.
Yeah.
Who you're channeling is, what's the confirmation here that you're doing this? I mean, Edgar Casey used to channel a lot too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also,
right.
But I also find that when people channel, something physically happens to their bodies for some reason. I know some people who are like that, whether it's famous or not so famous, and local here, and their bodies are wrecked. you know, who are they channeling? Channeling, and it's interesting.
Well, it can be any number of things. I mean, they can literally go into a trance. They can be channeling themselves or higher self. They can be channeling spirits. They can be channeling nothing but act like they are. It just depends. You know, there's a lot of things, and I mean, so you know, you have some good points, some good comments, and I agree that if you want to get some publicity, start doing this channeling thing, and you will, you know, especially if they're grandiose enough.
You know, Jay just brought up a really interesting point, and when you say, Jay, that you've met people who have done channeling and their bodies are wrecked, I would just like to share my experience. The first time that I had a channeled experience that I believe was an extraterrestrial, I was exhausted and I was sick the rest of the day. And until I shifted my energy and until I attuned what I believe is my frequency so that it could flow through me and not cause any blockages, this same client who had asked me to do it before phoned me months later and said, you know, I'd really like another session with you, but I worry about your health. I said, no, I'm all over this now because I just needed to attune to it. So I don't get sick. Because anytime we change our vibration, it's no different than food. Some food will make you sick. Other, you know, some is agreeable to the body, and not all people can eat the same kind of food. So I see it kind of that same way. And I hope that kind of helps you maybe have a new thought about it too, that I think a lot of people do get sick because they're not attuning their bodies.
Well, Jay, thanks for any other comments you have, Jay?
There's lots of books out there and people channeling. I don't know if the wisdom.
Well, that's a good point, and I'll let you listen online. But you make a good point. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. When it doesn't matter the message, it doesn't matter where it comes from. You know, look at the message. Look for these little nuances? Is it manipulative? Is it directing you outside yourself? Is it promoting fear in some way? Is it giving and taking, you know, manipulating that way? You got to look at the message with a critical eye. When we say critical, critical is not negative. Critical, the word is neutral. It can be positive or negative. What we mean is a critical eye, meaning think. Think for yourself. Don't just take anybody else's word for it, including me. Think for yourself. Reason on it. Does it make sense? Does it have the ring of truth? That sort of thing. And that will help safeguard folks from putting their faith, which it literally is, in areas where they really shouldn't. So,
well, you know, Jay used that term eye candy. It's very interesting. As human beings, we are attracted to shiny things.
Mm. I mean, sure. Diamonds.
I mean, anything.
Gold.
You know, if it's shiny, if it appeals, if it's, you know, tugs at our, you know, little heartstrings or anything, we can easily get suckered. You know, John just made a comment when I was talking about how our frequency changes. John mentioned in the chat, he's heard of that happening as well. And he's observed that with other people who channel. If I can say this, when I do readings, if I've done several readings in a day, it can get very tiring. And I tell you, I feel it in my body. My old teacher said to me, the reason readers or channelers get sick is that they don't know how to look after themselves and replenish their energy. I take very good care of my body. When I know I'm tired, I make sure I get enough rest. I make sure I get the right nutrition. And it's just taking care of things as I know to do. I mean, I've tried to stop doing readings for people many times, and, you know, I always end up right back where I guess I'm supposed to be. So the responsibility for me is to look after that. Now, if the channeling aliens, as we're loosely calling them, is a very rare event for me. It's not something that has happened very often at all. For me, it's mostly a semi-conscious, conscious channeling of spirits, if there is. But I think most information comes from our higher consciousness. As Doug and I have talked before, it's this vast Akashic records of the universe. We can talk about it through quantum physics, time, space, continuums, the past, present, future is all happening at the same time. There are many explanations that I like to keep my mind open for. And I think that's what we're really trying to impart tonight, is that to keep our minds open, that there are some really legitimate people out there. But we're a learning species, and we really don't know how to contribute very well. So we don't know how to do that responsibly, and we don't know how to take care of ourselves responsibly, which is right back to the Life Leadership Program, you know, as the paragon of, you know, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and the respect for free will. So I'm just reinforcing it again from another angle or another way that we can find a center of things to make sense of it. It's a good way to critically think and process.
And since so many folks are looking for some hope somewhere, I mean, it's the reason why religions do so well. They provide hope. It's largely false hope, but it's hope. People need hope, and hope is ultimate. When you have no hope, you're done. When there is no hope, you're done. And that actually reminds me of a story I read tonight, that in the U.S., suicides are now have outranked auto crashes for the number one cause of injury-related deaths. So more people are killing themselves than are dying in car crashes in the U.S. And they're losing hope. And it just goes to show you, when you've lost hope, you're done. There's nothing else. Even Viktor Frankl, back in Auschwitz during World War II, when he observed all these people, the ones who lived had hope. They had to live. They had a reason to live. They had unfinished business. They needed to do something afterward. They got out. They lived. They had a reason to live. They had a purpose. They had meaning in their life. And unfortunately, when you read one failed channeled message after another, you know, it's just one more, okay, that avenue's gone. I mean, they can't trust everything, can't trust any of it. So it tends to you know, help people to lose hope or cause people to lose hope rather than gain hope. I'm not putting down the base. There's some of these that have an upbuilding message. That's fine. Look, I don't care. If it's got an upbuilding message and it encourages people, more power to them. But when they manipulate people, when they cause people or direct people to go outside of themselves to look to aliens or God or whatever, anything other than themselves, that's not healthy. It's not healthy. And if some of you who are listening to this, if you feel like you've lost hope, that's just an attitude. The only time you ever lose hope is when you choose to lose hope. There's always hope. Look, and I speak from experience, there's always hope. And if you delve into what we're talking about, into the study of metaphysics, and that is consciousness and existence now, if you study that, you can find even more hope. Maybe you have no hope that you'll even live after you die. Well, how do you know? Have you really looked into it? And I mean really looked into it, not just, well, everybody says you live after you die. That's good enough for me. No, that's not good enough. That's not thinking for yourself. If you say you live after you die, how can you back that up? Obviously, there's no proof, but do you have a compelling argument? Can you cite near-death experiences? Can you cite shared death experiences? Can you cite visions that deathbed visions? That's what they are. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can cite that provide a compelling basis that we live on after we die. And it took me a long time to come to that conclusion. And I wanted to believe it, but I'm not going to just believe something because I want to believe it. I need a compelling basis. That's why I don't necessarily believe in reincarnation. Don't not believe in it. I just don't have an opinion yet. I suspect it may be true on some level, but I can't back it up. So I'm not going to tell people that's what goes on. I mean, that's me. That's not everybody. That's just me. So what I'm encouraging folks is to think for yourself, look at these messages, and don't lose hope. Study metaphysics. Go to Metaphysics Institute and enroll in the degree program. I promise you it will get you thinking. You may not agree with everything. That's fine. You don't have to. I don't need for you to agree with everything. Go improve yourself. Go expand your mind. You'll find hope. And there's nothing that really satisfies a soul like being of assistance to others. And I don't mean in a codependent way, but getting into spiritual counseling or life coaching, holistic healing or energy work type of thing. You know, you're encouraging people. And when you learn these principles, especially Life Leadership Paragon, you have that positive impact on people all around you. And you accept yourself and you take responsibility for yourself and you respect others. You don't give unsolicited advice. You don't try to control other people. You don't try to change other people. You just evolve yourself and provide that great example of that beautiful self-completeness. So there's some...
No, Doug, yesterday...
Learn.
Sorry. Yesterday, a woman asked me to help her in finding out who she is. And I said, well, who are you? And she said, well, I'm looking for the answers. Like, I don't feel right. Like, I'm not myself. I haven't been for years. And I said, well, certainly we could explore that. But she said, no, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? I need to know my sense of purpose. I said, I don't know. What do you think?
Mm-mm.
And she looked at me, and she's getting frustrated. I said, I can't tell you who you are. I can help you. I can facilitate to ask questions, to give you questions to ask yourself. And she said, you know, that's been my problem. She said, I do a lot of reading. I study things. I take courses. I go to workshops. And I still don't feel better. Like, I still don't feel like I have my purpose. And I said, well, why don't you stop reading the books? Why don't you stop going to those workshops? And why don't you just sit still and just think about who you are? How do you think? How do you process? What's going on in your own mind? What makes you feel good? What did you like to do as a child? And she said, yeah, but what what am I supposed to do with that? I said, whatever you want. You see, and it's just to continue the questions where she can reach deep inside, because there's been detachment, right? There's been so much detachment to look outside ourselves for the self
mm-hmm.
that we almost detach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you talk about the high suicide rate, when you lose hope, it's like your spirit's broken.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a piece, like your soul isn't entirely participating in your process. So it's like to get into the body and attach again. There's a tremendous amount of suffering. None of us is ever going to invalidate that. But the suffering is relative to the individual experience. You know, no two people experience pain the same way. So it's to validate and to be in a sharing place with people, to ask them how they feel, to support them in a process, in a journey to get well. So when we talk about we don't need anybody outside ourselves, we do need each other as support because we're in a sharing space.
Mm-hmm.
But no one individual is going to have more power than anybody else. We're all equal. Nobody's smarter. Well, some people, you know, are smarter than I am about things, you know. But we each have our own place. We're in a shared space on the earth. So all I can do is offer, you know, some questions that I've asked myself along the way as part of what I contribute. Equally, you know, I might have some skills that I can share. But geez, just like anybody else, you know, I've got my own dilemmas. You know, I still, you know, call up Doug Kelly and say, hey, Doug, you know, and need a little debriefing here or decompressing or, you know, I have some questions or, geez, can I just vent for 5? You know, because this is what we do with each other, but hopefully in a healthy way. So when you are on the quest for searching for yourself, find the little nuggets that trigger something inside. And I suggest that you, you know, use a little piece of wisdom I'm passing on that came from my teachers, is just ask the questions. You know, because from one question will be another question, another question. And for every answer you think you have, you'll find 10 more questions. And that's the beauty of being human,
mm-hmm.
is that there's never an end to the questions. So for somebody, you know, sorry, Doug, go ahead.
I just wanted to, you know, tag on to that. You know, if you're wondering, what's this all about? What is life all about? Why was I sent to this planet? On and on. You know, here's the deal.
I'm still trying to figure that out. What was I thinking to come here, Doug? Jeez.
Here's the deal. We don't know. We don't know why. We don't know why we live on a planet where everything eats everything else. We don't know why. Okay, I'll not yell. Wasn't really yelling. It's just Skype. The Skype gods are trying to quiet me. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know why these things are the way they are, but we're going to try to find out. That's what's part of being human. So don't worry so much about it if that's a problem for you. We don't know. We don't have all the answers. And when they talk about the meaning of life and the purpose of life, that's an illusion. There is no meaning or purpose of life. What there is, what's your meaning in life? What is your purpose in life? Because your purpose and your meaning in life are going to be different than mine and everybody else's. It's unique to you. It's part of your personality. It's part of your makeup. What brings meaning to your life? Figure it out. Answer that question.
There's always going to be a mystery, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and some things have to be left to a mystery because we'll never live long enough to figure it out anyway. So get about the business of today and living the fulfillment of today, as you're saying.
Right. Now, this all this stuff we're talking about here, you know, and let's just sum up, and then I want to kind of segue into what we're going to talk about next week. We've talked about these channeled messages. Yes, there's some of them that are encouraging and upbuilding, and that's great. But so many of them have those aspects of those 15 points that I read at the beginning of the show. And if you missed that, go back and listen to the first part of the show in the archives. But you got to think for yourself. Got to keep your feet grounded. Don't look outside of yourself for the answers because they're within you. we as a species, we as humanity have the ability to correct our problems. And if we just do no harm and do right, that's going to go.
We lost you.
What,
we lost you there.
At what word? What was I saying?
We as a humanity.
All right.
We have the ability
to solve our own problems. And we just need to do no harm and do right. That will go a long, long way to correcting the problems that we have in the world. Then if we can get people to learn how to accept themselves, show responsibility, respect other people, and become complete within themselves, we now have the perfect recipe for peaceful coexistence on this planet. That's healthy. It's all in the MCHS Church's principles of belief, the life leadership paragon. It's something that we can do. So we've talked about these channel messages. Don't look at them with in the same religious faith that you would have for anything. Just listen, you know, and I'm getting stumbling over my words here. I don't mean to. Sorry for that.
You know, I think if
listen to them
also
critically. Read them critically, with a critical eye. Reason on them. Make sure they make sense or don't make sense. Don't blindly follow them. That's the point. Now, let's segue into next week's program, which is going to be how to raise yourself up by the bootstraps when you have no boots. Take it, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when there is no boots. You know, again, it's relative. If we're always comparing ourselves to other people, what they have and what we don't have, then we're going to have a problem. But if we can dig deep in ourselves and, you know, pull ourselves up, you know, and find that spiritual strength, that soul strength that's in us that keeps going, then, you know, there we go. So next week's show will be how to really dig deep sometimes, because we all feel that way. You know, we all feel that way at times. You know, if I can just throw this right in right before the end of the show, if some people are wondering what channeling is, I think in a way, and if this helps Jay a little bit when he called in, I think in some way it's being conscious of sharing energy space. And I think that's the best way. If we're all, you know, telepathically connected, we're universally connected, we can also hear each other, you know, at a different frequency or energy. So hopefully that helps some people. Just listen to the right messages and translate them in as healthful
right
manner as
and
possible.
It doesn't matter whether it's a channeled message, a message from your political leader, from whoever, you know.
Hallelujah.
Think for yourself. That's right. Political leader,
that's
religious
right
leader, spirit guide, I don't care who. Think for yourself. Make sure that the message is good. Well, we appreciate the time that you have taken to join us either on this live program or in the archives. We know you're busy. We know you have a lot going on, and we really appreciate you tuning in. If you like what you're hearing on these programs, please tell others about MCHS Church, about the radio program. This is really our primary educational service each week, where we try to give the best of what we've got, the best of what we've heard, in an effort to help people do better, you know, be more successful, lighten their load a little bit. If you have a topic you'd like to have discussed or see discussed in this program, just shoot us an email, admin@mchschurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. So, that's all I got for tonight. We'll let the music take us out. Vicki, you have a great week. Thanks to John Hightower for screening calls. Take care, everybody. Good night.